It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
Great. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Why don't you introduce yourself to all the listeners out there?
Yeah, for sure. I'm Katie. I am a student at Boise State. I'm in a graduate program for counseling. I'm studying addiction counseling. I, however, am not particularly working with people with substance use disorders. I'm currently in an internship. I'm working with an eating disorder clinic and then also with a private practice. So just seeing individual clients that have, you know, issues all across the board, and then specifically eating disorders with a program called Center for Change.
Oh my God, you're amazing. Does everyone have an eating disorder?
Oh, that's a great question.
Let's just get right into it.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a really good question. I think that especially, you know, generally like our age group, we grew up with like our parents being a lot of times like really into like the fad diets, a lot of the Atkins, a lot of the Slim Fast, you know, things like that.
And oh, I remember those Slim Fast commercials everywhere. Yeah. And like, I remember being in middle school and having friends have Slim Fast shakes in their lockers. And
just, I had them.
And just eating that for lunch. Actually, I remember for lunch, some of my friends would only have a Diet Pepsi and one of those mini bags of chips. And that was their lunch.
Oh, and that's it. I mean, it's so common, and people, you know, that it's still common, to be honest, and that eating disorders are unfortunately not going anywhere. But I think that with the, you know, us as kids, we saw our parents go through these like fad diets and really lean into different kinds of, you know, getting rid of all the carbs, bringing on all the carbs, you know, meat only, and
moms criticizing their own bodies, being really particular with their daughters and what they wear and what parts of their bodies are showing. I remember tearfully confessing to a friend that I had suffered from an eating disorder, and her reaction was so, it was so cavalier and so amazing. She was just like, who did it? She was like, we all have those. And I was like, oh shit, it's so common. And I thought it was this big secret that something must be wrong with me, that I can't eat, or like I have like obsessive thoughts about what I eat. And yoga really helped me get my thinking back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, I think there's a difference between eating disorders and disordered eating. And that's kind of the idea of like thinking about your food in a way that is maybe unhealthy for you, and not really thinking about nutrients versus like, you know, feeding your body versus calories versus, you know, I can't have this, foods being good or bad, like having morality.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not a thing. You know, your food is not good or bad. It's food, and it makes you feel good or it makes you feel not so good.
So you said you're interested in studying addictions, and how did that lead you into working with eating disorders?
Well, at Boise State, there's two tracks in the counseling program. You can either be a school counselor, or you can study addiction counseling.
Oh.
And so I started in the school counseling track, took one school counseling class, and I realized this is not for me.
Tell me more. What do you mean? Like, what was it for you that you're like, this doesn't resonate with my passion?
Well, I've never really worked with kids, for one thing. And I think that for school counseling, like in my view of the program, you can be a school counselor and still do private practice. You can get your degree in school counseling, still work outside of the schools. But if you get your degree in addiction counseling, or if you don't get your school counseling degree, then you can't work in the schools. And so I felt kind of limited in that way, and I just thought like, well, I just need to get a school counseling degree so I have options. And so not knowing, you know, what exactly I wanted to do with my counseling degree, I just wanted a broader scope. And then I took one school counseling class. I realized I don't really know what I'm doing with kids, for one thing. And also like the bureaucracy of schools was really challenging. Like going through, you know, you get 15 minute sessions with kids. And while school counselors are absolutely amazing and all the people in my cohort, like, they're going to change lives, absolutely. But it's just not, you know, you have to have your principal and your school board and your district, and it's just, you're answering to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a difficult time with authority, apparently.
Oh my gosh. I was talking to my friend India, who was on a previous episode, and she was telling me about this book by Gretchen something or other. I'm so bad at this. I don't know why I have a podcast. But it's called The Four. You have four. Did I write it down? Leniencies or intentions, or I was listening to this on the 10% podcast also, where they interview the author, and you can be a rebel. You can be an upholder. You can be, you kind of lean into these, the four tendencies. Oh my God, thank you for remembering.
Got
brain.
It.
It's morning, figuring it out. And my friend India was like, I have a feeling you're a rebel. You probably don't like authority. And something else about rebels is you also rebel against yourself. So you can get kind of frustrated. Like you'll set a goal and then you'll be like, no, I don't have to do it, which is probably why I was running late for this appointment. So I was like, I want to do a podcast. And then I was like, oh, I want to lay in bed longer.
I feel that so much. And that is, that's interesting about rebelling against yourself, because I definitely like get that, you know, I get my bristles up and with authority and saying like, you can't tell me what to do. But then I say that same thing to myself, where I argue with myself. I'm like, I'm going to do this and it's going to be great. And then like, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do.
That's why I love yoga. Like I took a class the other day and I was like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And sometimes yoga teachers are cool with it and sometimes they're not. But if I have that mindset where I can do whatever I want, I end up enjoying the practice more. Maybe that's why I like teaching, because I like bossing people around. I'm the authority.
Yeah, there you go.
Did we even say your name? Did we introduce you?
Yeah, I said my name in the beginning.
Okay. This is Katie. She's amazing. How long have we known each other?
Well, let's see. Probably, I mean, 10 years, I would say.
That's been a long time.
Yeah, because I think we met at Aesthetic Evolution.
Oh, my God!
I think that's the first time that we met.
What year was that? That was a good year. I had so much fun.
I'm terrible with years. I always like have different markers for my time. I'm I was dating this person.
I was this age.
Yeah, I was working this job.
I want to say I was 23.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm 33.
I'm 35.
So that's, yeah. Wow, okay. Then yeah, so more than 10 years?
Yeah. Dang. And then, so how did you get into yoga?
Kind of randomly. I think that even, I think I, some of my girlfriends and I bought a Groupon for Essential, when it was Essential, and went a couple times. It was so hard, but it felt really good. Like I enjoyed the heat, I enjoyed the challenge, but I just know that I was getting through it, basically. Mm-hmm. It really wasn't like, it felt, I was doing it for the workout, for the sweat, for.
Oh, okay.
And then,
you're one of those.
Yeah, I was in the beginning. I was in the beginning.
I think most of us are.
Yeah. And I still am a little bit, to be honest. Like I very much enjoy the vinyasa, you know, level two vinyasa, like that's challenging.
I think that just is the cake with the icing. You're like, wow, this is great for my mental health. And I get like physical benefits. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. And so that was like, I mean, that was probably 10 years ago or so that I did that, and then kind of would go in and out of yoga. And then really when you and I kind of made our like deal about concert tickets, and then that's when I kind of started going to Hollywood more on a regular basis. And then even more so within the last a little bit over a year that I've been cleaning the studio.
Explain that really cool deal that we had, because I miss this shit.
Yes. Oh, me too.
Pre-COVID.
Yes. Yeah, so pre-COVID, I was working in marketing at the Knitting Factory, and I would get free tickets to the concerts at Knitting Factory. And so Christina and I had a little handshake deal that said that she could come to whatever concerts that she wanted to at Knitting Factory, and I would get to go to yoga for free. And so that was a wonderful deal for both of us.
Oh my God, I felt so cool. I'd be like, I want to go to that concert. I want to hit up Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wouldn't come to yoga, I'd be like, please come to yoga, because I want to go to that concert.
Yeah, because that's the great thing about it. I mean, it really didn't cost either of us anything.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, so we were so chill about it. It didn't feel one-sided. It felt really balanced. And sometimes yeah, you'd agree. Hit me up and be like, do you want to go to a show? Like, do you still want to do this trade? I was like, yes. That was really fun. And so I remember you coming in and saying, I'm going back to school and I'm going to make a transition. And I was so impressed with you being able to pivot and see you make just changes in your life. And I'm such a person of ritual and routine and stability. I really admired you just taking a look at what you wanted and making those pivots and transitions to change your job, go back to school, change other things in your life as well. I'm so glad that you wanted to come and sit down and talk with me about all this stuff.
Definitely. And thank you for saying that. That was a really, really pivotal moment in my life to make that decision. I was in, you know, I was in a place when I was 5 years into working at Knitting Factory. I loved the people that I was working with. I loved the perks of the job, mm-hmm. but the actual job itself, I was feeling really just stuck and very like unmotivated, uninspired. It felt repetitive, you know, and the behind the scenes of the music stuff, it's not as glamorous as you would think when you're working like in the music industry. And and while there are, you know, I saw a ton of amazing live music and got to go on some really fun trips and meet some really amazing people and make a lot of really good connections, it was time for me to go. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so I was actually at a party with some girlfriends and with shout out to Madeline.
Madeline Martello, yeah. Yes. We love you.
I was What's at up, her girl? House. Oh, she's the best. Uh-huh. I was at her house and a friend of hers, we were just chatting, sitting on the porch, and she was in the Boise State program her first semester. And so we were talking about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I've had being a counselor in the back of my mind, but like, I could never. Mm-hmm. And so we're just keep talking, and it's like going back to school just sounds so intense.
Daunting.
Yes. And it's like, I couldn't wait to get done with my undergrad. So how can I go back to school and get a master's? And so we're going through, and I just was in this kind of like crisis mode of thinking like, why can't I just be fine? Why can't I just be one of those people that just goes through life and is like, this is fine. Like, I have a fine job. It's totally fine.
Isn't there a meme of a dog and a burning
It's
house?
My favorite meme.
And
of
he's
all.
Like, this is fine. This is fine.
Yes. And that's how I felt inside my brain.
Oh, man.
And so I was telling her this, and she was like, you have to do it. Like, I can tell that you'd be amazing. You need to do this. And so that was the kind of push and inspiration that I needed. And so I applied to the program and I got in, and it was just, yeah, it was really amazing. And everybody at Knitting Factory was supportive. I worked there for a year and a half during my program before COVID shut everybody down and mm-hmm. everybody got laid off. There was like 6 people in the entire company.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was, you know, Knitting Factory is actually a pretty huge company.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like a nationwide concert house venue.
Mm-hmm.
They do
promotions for other concerts mm-hmm. also, and mm-hmm. or other concert houses and other venues and things like that. So, they went down to bare bones and barely made it. And so I got laid off and went back to bartending, and which is my job I had all through. I started working in restaurants when I was 16.
That's something to always have in your back pocket.
Oh my gosh.
Make some cash.
It's the most amazing thing to have in your back pocket.
I feel
it's
like I
always
need to learn how to do that. I make the worst cocktail. I try. We had some friends over for dinner, and I tried to make this like festive holiday cocktail, and it was just so watered down and terrible. People kept like adding more booze to it. Like, I tried.
Yeah, it's a process, and you know, you have to taste your cocktails and then mm-hmm. mix it up and add a little something here and something there. Get it?
Sure.
It is just all, you know, it's all counting, especially when you have like a cocktail that has a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, count to 3. Slowly, it's an ounce and a half.
Is that how you do an ounce and a half? You count to 3? So you don't
it's
need
like
those
one,
jiggers?
Like 1, 2, 3. Yep.
You're brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so, I came up with that too.
Okay, so you go back to bartending, you get into the program.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I went back to bartending. This was about, last summer is when I went back to bartending. And that's kind of when my program really picked up. it's an interesting process going through. Like, the counseling program will change you as a person.
Tell me everything.
Like, oh my gosh. I mean, they say that in the beginning. They make you sign a contract saying, like, your life will change. Your relationships will change. And this is, you have to understand this. Are you ready?
Are you secretly, like, reading everyone and diagnosing them or what?
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's like, there's certain things that come up that I like want to comment on, but it's none of my business. And I'm very aware of that. That's not everybody is my client and I don't mm-hmm. want them to be. And I very much have like figured out how to like compartmentalize my counseling self versus my non-counseling self.
Wow. And so early on. I would like read one article and I'm like going up to everyone like, so tell me, why do you do that? What are your parents like?
I feel like there's appropriate times, and I also think it's changed me in the positive for like, I don't want to have as like frivolous of conversations anymore. I feel like I've really leaned away from gossip, really leaned away from just, you know, people like encouraging people's behaviors that are unhealthy for them. And yeah. I'm aware of it and I see it. And I feel like for a long time I was like, you're fine, you're great, you know, don't worry about anybody else. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm a little bit more encouraging of like, take a step back. What's making you like, is this making you happy?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's changed your relationships already?
Oh my gosh. It's so much. And that's kind of what, like, I went through. I was in a relationship for 5 years, and we actually worked together at Knitting Factory, and we broke up about a year ago, or a little over a year ago. And that was, you know, we lived together, we owned a house together. It was a huge breakup, and wow. That was another thing that really changed my life. It was a relationship that needed to end, and I still have so much respect for him. Like, we share our cat still.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, which is really amazing. Like, we got a cat together. She's the best.
So there's still love and
there's absolutely
there.
Still love and support. And he's doing really well. And so that was really helpful. But it was just something that, like, I felt very unhealthy in. Mm-hmm. I felt stuck. It was similar to the Knitting Factory job of just being in this place that I was like, I don't belong here anymore. And mm-hmm. realizing that and kind of growing from that breakup was
you achieved your purpose and you're ready for the next step.
Yes, exactly. But it was really interesting. It's like, I think after that breakup, I kind of I felt lost for sure. I mean, I think that's, you know, normal in any kind of relationship, even though it was time for it to end. I was living with my mom. I was in the middle of this program. I was trying to figure out who I am as a counselor.
Yeah.
And so I'm going through kind of like some supervision where I'm seeing undergrad clients. It's part of the program. We see undergrad clients that they get extra credit for certain classes that they're in. And it helps us kind of gear into counseling real people. And so I'm having this supervision session and I'm showing a clip of a session that I had with a client, and it's called triadic supervision. So I have one other person in my cohort and then our supervisor, and I show this clip and I'm like kind of spiraling about everything I did wrong and all the things that I need to be doing instead of what I am doing. And they both just like stopped me and they were like, Katie, you have the skills already. You need to just be yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, stop trying to be everybody else and be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, it's like, okay, yeah. And I, you know, this was all over Zoom, and I shut my computer and I just cried. But that moment was like, it just kind of shook me awake. And I was like, I can't be anybody else but myself.
Oh my gosh, so true.
And it's such an eye-opening realization. And so ever since then, it was like, I have a style, you know, with my clients. It's very relaxed. It's very, like, friendly. I'm not super, you know, professional. Like, I'm the counselor, you're the client, and so I have all the information.
Authority.
Yeah, and so...
Do you put on a pair of big glasses and pull out your
and hold tea? I was holding tea the other day with a client. I felt very important.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but that moment really changed me, and that it helped me kind of lean into my own and really... I like discovered my counseling style, the counseling theory that I work through, which is existentialism. And that is kind of the, it just like matches really well with my belief and my overall goal of life, which is balance.
Can you give a brief example of how using existentialism philosophy in your counseling style, like an example, like what does that look like?
Yeah. So it's a holistic approach. So it looks at the client as like a whole person, not just like, let's attack this certain part.
Issue.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really takes into account and shows respect to like the human condition and just like how challenging it is to be a human in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so you've heard of like, you know, going through an existential crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
We're all going to die, you guys.
And that's exactly...
It freaks me out. My counselor was like, so talk about this fear of death. I'm like, hello, it's death. What's not to be afraid of?
That's so funny you say that, because that's exactly what I was going to talk about. It's like having that awareness and like, you know, it is, it's a something that like feels really dark to a lot of people, thinking like, I'm going to die. My mom's going to die. My pets are going to die. Like, everybody that I love is going to die one
day. Why should I care about anything?
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Like, you there's two sides of the
care about everything or don't care about anything.
Right. And that you, like, you can either live in this, like, fear and this dread of possibility, or you also, people live in the denial that, like, they're going to live forever and they just never think about it. And so when someone that they're close to dies, they lose their shit. Because it's shocking, and it's the first time that you've experienced this, and you have to like abruptly take on, you know, like accept that
big feelings. A lot
this
of
person
feelings.
Is never going to come back, and that's so hard.
How does yoga tie into all this with you?
So, I think with existentialism, it's kind of like it's finding a balance, it's finding peace, and finding acceptance. And that's what is, you know, what yoga is to me as well. It's like finding that peace and the balance. You know, I just love the word balance. That's like my overarching goal of life, is just to like give yourself some grace, you know, lean a little bit this way. Mm-hmm. And when you feel like you're leaning too far to that way, lean the other way. And, you know, with yoga, like you're never the same person at each yoga session that you do. And that's what it feels like. You know, you feel stronger in certain areas of your body in some days, and you feel like you get different things out of yoga every time that you attend or every time that you do it. And that aspect of it was just like very appealing to me, and it's very peaceful. And that the acceptance of your body, acceptance of how it moves, of how it bends, of its like restrictions, is something that was hard for me to lean into. I just want to do everything. Like, I see people like Jodel, and yes, and she is so amazing, and just like, you know, she can do all these headstands and handstands and
her
arm
Instagram
stands.
Account, I think it's Jodel Yoga.
She's
amazing. So if you look at her Instagram account, you're like, oh my gosh, this person is perfect in every way. And then you meet her, and she is the kindest, most perfect person. And
she's so humble.
Oh yeah, she's so sweet. She's like, my Instagram is nothing like my life. It's just fun. And she said she's going to post more bloopers. I saw that she posted a few.
She
too.
Has been a little bit.
So Jodel Yoga, Jodell Yoga. You guys have to check her out. She's crazy. But that's so intimidating when you see someone like Jodel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, but then she's like this wonderful person.
That's
so then you're like, oh, balance.
Yes, exactly. And just kind of seeing, and but actually just speaking of Jodel, I was telling my my partner about her class, because I always go, so I clean the studio at Hollywood Market, when that's kind of how we've adjusted our deals. Uh-huh. I clean the studio once a week, and so I can still go to yoga for free while I'm in grad school, and I'm making very little money right now. But so I go to Jodell's class at noon on Mondays, and then I clean the studio after that. And I was telling my partner that Jodell was going to start doing a vinyasa class. And I was so excited because it was hot hour for a long time, which was really fun. But mm-hmm. I was really excited for her to be able to have some creativity. And so I was going on and on about how excited I am for her vinyasa class. And he was like, "You have such a yoga crush on her." It's like, I do.
We all do.
I do.
We all have yoga crushes on her. And I like how you brought up when you were in your counseling session, your cohort. I love that you use that word. I never use that word. Your cohorts were like, be yourself. You don't have to be other people. And we talk a lot about that in yoga teacher training too, because when you're new, you're just like, okay, well, I'm going to do what my teacher does, or I really like that teacher, I'm gonna do what they do. And I still steal things from my teachers, but it took me a while to figure out like who I was as a teacher, where's my authenticity lie, how can I use language that's representative of me and using my voice and curating my playlists in a way that I'm honoring myself, but still honoring the tradition of yoga.
Your playlists are the best.
Oh, thank
Love
you.
Your
oh,
playlists.
Thank you. Thank
you. absolutely. And that, I'm glad you used that word authenticity, because that was a big part. That's a big part of existential therapy, is like showing up authentically. And what does that mean for you? And that was another thing that spoke to me in that moment of like, who am I authentically? Like, I need to figure that out, because I really felt like I didn't know at the time. And that just like, I mean, I'm like in my 30s and I'm figuring out who I am for the first time.
Girl, I still feel like that.
Yeah.
Like, I know who I am and what I'm passionate about, but like I can wake up one day and have a totally new vision. We're running out of time, and I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
I've been thinking about this, and I feel like, you know, as much time as I spend at the yoga studio, like I feel I've heard like so many compassionate people, just people looking out for each other, people that just, you know, like they're supportive, and they know that every time that someone's like comes out of class and is like, oh, that was a tough class, you know, I didn't do well, there's always three or more people that are like, are you kidding me, you did so great, every time is different, you know, just nothing but support. And there's one thing I thought that when I was first thinking about like what I've overheard at yoga, I thought of what I've smelled at yoga was the thing. And just like kind of recently, I was in a yoga class, and the person next to me was just like, I mean, the smell of weed was just permeating off of them.
Was I the teacher in that class? Because I taught a class recently where it's just like that side of the room was just marijuana.
Yeah. And it was just so funny that it was like everybody has their thing that they do, you know, before. Mm-hmm. And like, I bet that person is getting their stretch on and it feels so good. And that reminded me, sorry, I don't want to like take up too much time, but.
No, you're good.
This, I was at home when, this is like a few months ago, and I had some what I thought were CBD gummies. Uh-huh. And so I like had eaten some CBD gummies, and then I forgot that we had bought those in Lake Tahoe. And so they were not CBD gummies. They were like maybe 10% CBD, like 90% THC. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But so I'm like, you know, I ate the what I thought was CBD gummies, and I put on a at home like YouTube yoga video, and I'm like doing yoga, and it's like a half an hour long. And the next one, like I got done with it, and then just the next one started, and I was like, I'm just going to keep going. And so I did like another half hour. And then after like an hour and 15 minutes of yoga, I was like, what? I just like zoned into this like yoga flow, and I was like, this feels so good. And then I was like, why do I feel like this good? And then I went and looked at the little tin,
oh,
and I was
I'm
like,
high.
Oh, I am so high right now. It was so, yeah, just like the realization. It was like, oh, I could do yoga forever.
For those of you listening, if you have a yoga while high story, please send it to me. Please email me. Please DM me. I would love to hear more of these types of stories.
The best.
Not yoga related, but definitely a secret high related story. I went on a ski trip to Mount Baker with some friends, and we got to our friend's cabin. I passed out early. I always go to bed early sometimes. Sometimes, always. Anyway, and so like the next morning, I'm like one of the first people in the van waiting for everyone else to get in. They had like a late night and they all partied. And so I'm waiting in the van, and one of our friends brings in all these muffins. And so like while I'm waiting, I just start eating these muffins, and they're delicious. So I had like three of them. And we all get into the van, and we start driving up the mountain. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm just admiring the beauty and, oh, the trees and the snow. It's so pretty. And, God, it's just getting so pretty. Everything's so beautiful. Like, I'm tearing up, like, how beautiful the mountain is. Yes. And I say to my friends, like, do you guys feel like it's just getting prettier and prettier? And they're like, Jesus, Christina, you ate three of those pop muffins. You're just stoned. And I was like, what? I had a full-blown panic attack.
Oh, no.
I was borrowing a friend's snowboard, too, and I couldn't, like, figure out how to clip in. And I felt like the sloth in that movie, like, trying to clip in. I couldn't keep up with anyone. I did maybe three runs, and I was like, I'm too hot for this, and just went and took, like, a three-hour nap in the van. Yeah. That was our ski trip that year.
The accidental high. I feel that.
Yeah, so I can't really do that anymore.
Right. There is a time and a place. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now it's all yoga.
Exactly. Being at home alone in your safe space and doing yoga in your apartment.
That's
more like
it. There
you go. That's when you can be like, oh, wow, this is my group.
So good. Pigeon pose.
Yeah.
I have to thank you so much for coming on my little podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Oh, so fun.
You're wonderful.
I'm going to put info in the show notes. So do you want me to leave a little email or Instagram thing where people can connect with you if they have questions?
Yeah, actually, you can email me. That would be, you know, if you have any questions, or also like if you're looking for a therapist, I have a lot of recommendations and, you know, people that I have recommendations from, anywhere from like interns who are doing therapy for really, really cheap. And if that is more kind of something that you're looking for, all the way up to very specific, you know, EMDR therapists that, you know, specialize in trauma or specialize.
Big fan of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually getting trained in EMDR. I'm so excited.
Let's hang out more. We'll get Maddie over here. Cool. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Oh,
bye.
Well,
Oh, did you want to say something else?
My email.
Oh, tell me.
Oh, you
email.
Put it in the show notes. Don't worry about it.
You can say it, too.
It's kdpkaytip@gmail.com. And feel free to email me with any questions that you have.
Great. We did it.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!